please?
Time is 6:42.
Sir? In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice of January 7, 2016. Facts in the three newspapers designated by the board, the Herndon Democrat, Herndon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Grant.
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mrs. Hand.
Here.
Mrs. Olasky. Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mrs. Ruddle-Goda.
Here.
Nice job.
Mr. Petutto.
Here.
Mr. Sturgis. Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. Ruddle-Goda, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ms. McLaughlin, would you please serve as the process guardian for tonight's meeting?
Sure.
Thank you. Mr. Jeskowitz, can you read our ever-long executive session statement, please?
Why, certainly. Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, et cetera, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, and NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend, and whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following matters are pertained by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting. Subject to the balancing of the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights, the nature of the discussion to be had described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is the search for a new superintendent. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. I'm looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Rachel. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstentions? Opposed? Okay, we're back in session. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly board meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, January 11th, 2016. It seems like we were all just sitting here moments ago. We were. We had a meeting probably about 7 days ago, and it's not normal that we would have meetings so close to one another. Normally, our board meetings are held in the latter part of the month. However, since the State Department of Education required school districts to present student and district park test results prior to January 15th, I think is the deadline, we're here this evening conducting another board meeting to meet that specific requirement. The board staff and the members of the Board of Education were required to have a very quick turnaround to prepare for another board meeting within 7-8 days of one another, and I'd like to thank everyone for their hard work in preparing for another board meeting in such a short period of time. Tonight we have two very important items on the agenda. First, we'll have a presentation from our curriculum staff on PARC, Dr. Deborah Grief, and our supervisor of curriculum, Joanne Hinkle. We'll provide a presentation on student and district data relative to PARC testing that was conducted last year. Second, the Board of Education will review and discuss the proposed school calendar for the 2016 school year. And tonight, the board will vote on the adoption of a calendar for that particular year. Before we proceed to matters of the board this evening, I'd like to highlight one agenda item of particular interest outside the normal committee reports, which this particular type of announcement usually falls under. As you all may have already heard, Dr. Drusilla Clark, our superintendent of schools, informed the Board of Education at last night, Monday night's board meeting, that it's her intent to retire at the conclusion of her four-year contract at the end of the June 30th of 2016. We are grateful for her dedication to our students, staff, and community. Clinton Township is definitely in a much better place since when she arrived 4 years ago. Although we're sad to see her go and leave our community, we're very happy for her as she'll embark on the next phase of her life in retirement. But since that doesn't happen for another 6 months, the Board of Education is looking forward to continuing to work with her and her staff until the conclusion of this year. Just want to quickly review with everyone here in the audience and those that may listen to the board audio this evening. The members of the Board of Education have begun the process of searching for a firm that will help us identify a new superintendent for our school district. Our intent is to include the staff, students, and parents, and members in the community when evaluating potential candidates for this job. I'd like to review this process that the Board of Education, administration, staff, and students and community will work through to identify the next superintendent. This process has worked in the past, and we wanted to duplicate it during this round. So what will happen first is that the Board of Education will identify a firm to help us identify candidates for the job of superintendent. We have stakeholders in our community, the Board of Education, our administrators, our teachers, our staff, members of our PTA, members of a foundation of excellence, members of our community, our town, our student council. We'll all have an opportunity to speak with members of our recruiting firm to understand what types of characteristics we would like to have in our next superintendent. After all of those discussions take place, and we will be in constant contact with each one of you to let you know when all this will happen so that you can participate. When all that happens, then the characteristics of the new superintendent will be identified. This will allow the search firm to reach its tentacles out into their network of potential candidates to identify a perfect fit for our district based on what everyone here would like to see. Once that happens, the firm will then conduct first level of interviews of these particular candidates to make sure that they're worthy enough to take on the next level of interviews that the Board of Education will conduct. They will give us somewhere between 6 and 8 candidates for us to evaluate. We'll then have a second round, bring anyone back that we believe deserves a second round of interviews. In that process, members of our staff will be involved along with the Board of Education to interview those folks here in the district. They will spend time with the staff and spend time with the board. We will ask them to do a presentation to both sets of constituents. We will ask for writing samples of an evaluation of a subordinate that's doing well, writing evaluation of a subordinate may need some assistance. We'll ask for their last evaluation so the board can review that as well. We will also ask them to do a writing task after the last interviewing process takes place. Once all that happens, the two groups will meet, the staff members of the staff as well as the Board of Education. We will discuss the candidates that come in for the final round, and the board will make a decision as to whether we will offer a contract to an individual. If that happens, we will negotiate a contract with the potential candidate, work with Mr. Gagliardi to do that. We'll submit a contract that we come to terms of agreement with to the county executive superintendent. I think something has to go to the state as well, Mr. Gagliardi, is that correct?
No, submitting it through the county office.
Is enough?
Yes.
We'll do that. We will then have a special meeting. We will vote on the hiring of the new superintendent, and we will introduce the new superintendent to our staff and our community. And then we will work through with that individual transition plans so they can get acclimated to the district. And then we'll develop a 100-day plan with the new candidate so they can get it up and running very quickly. We're going to have a special spot on the website so that every time we reach a milestone or a milestone is going to occur, everyone can be informed, and all that information will be on the website. We'll also communicate through email and text messages to the community, to the staff, and to the parents. So that's basically the process that we started this evening, and then we'll continue through once we have identified the proper fit for Clinton Township School District. If you have any questions at all during this process, please don't hesitate to contact me. My email's on the website, and I'd be happy to address any questions or concerns that you might have. At our last meeting, our reorganization meeting, I suggested to the board, and the board agreed that we didn't need a communications committee, specific general overall communications committee, and that when the need arose, we would establish a communications committee to handle specific projects. Being through this once before already, I know that we're going to need to communicate a great deal with all of our constituents. So I'm going to recommend to the board that we create an ad hoc communications committee for this particular task. And I'd like to ask board members over the next week or so to consider volunteering for that particular committee. We have a lot of writing to do and a lot of communications to do. So if you're interested in being part of that particular committee, I'd appreciate it. And if you could let me know by the end of the week, that would be great. So with that, I'd like to now move on to the report of our superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. As always, it's wonderful to see your faces, and I'm glad that I had an opportunity to talk to some parents who came tonight to see our park presentation. And as I said to a few of you, had some specific questions. We can't answer those tonight. Please just send me an email at dclark, and I'll get you answers to whatever questions that you may have. If I don't have the answers, I'll find a way to get them for you. We have our enrollment report of 1410. We're holding pretty steady, going up and down two numbers pretty regularly. We have a suspension report, two one-day in-school suspensions at the middle school, one three-day out-of-school suspension at the middle school, and one one-day out-of-school suspension at the middle school. We have our HIB report. We have one investigation at CTMS that was unfounded. And now I would like to introduce Dr. Grief and Joanne Hinkle, who are doing our park presentation this evening. And I do need to make special note of Sue High, our Round Valley principal, who is wearing her saddle shoes to cheer them on tonight. And her leather sweater.
I thought it was okay.
Thank you, Mrs. High.
School day?
And I was wondering the same thing.
She doesn't need pom-poms.
And I thank you as well. Before we begin our presentation, thank you all for coming this evening. I want to take a minute to thank the board, obviously Dr. Clark, for the opportunity to work here with Clinton Township. Your district is phenomenal, and working with Joanne has truly been a wonderful experience for us together, and she's a bright, articulate well-informed individual about curriculum, and the leadership team, I couldn't ask for a better group of people. So I thank you again for this opportunity. And I guess this, I'm not used to this kind of microphone. Is this better?
Yeah.
Just give me the high sign. Okay, we'll start off by telling you a little bit about the New Jersey State Assessment Program. As you can see, PARC assessments replaced our old assessments, the New Jersey ASC and the HSPA, in language arts and in math. Students began taking these assessments in third grade as required by federal law. As a result of the waiver won by the New Jersey Department of Education, students taking advanced coursework in middle school do not have to take the two math tests. Instead, they're able to take the test closely aligned with their coursework. So there again, this gives students an opportunity to focus on their particular coursework and to take an assessment that's aligned with that. So again, it's similar to what we'd had before in grades 3 through 11, and the coursework is in addition as well. Learning this new system here. Why PARC? Well, I'm sure there has been a lot of discussion about PARC last year. It was developed in response to concerns from colleges and universities regarding the ability for students to be successful in college. Oftentimes what was happening is students would be graduating from high school, going to college, and have to take remedial courses. This was causing a major conundrum for colleges as well as for parents who said, wait a minute, I thought my kids were ready for college. Why do I have to continue to pay for courses that my child will not be getting credit for? So they're considered to look at this particular problem and look at ways of assessing and looking also at our instruction. The PARC test is specifically aligned to the Common Core standards, but stress critical thinking. That is the major difference in our ways of teaching our children in the last few years as opposed to memorization. In simple terms, schools need to teach students how to think, reason, and apply knowledge rather than memorize. We must design instruction to meet those needs. PARC testing data will allow us to analyze the effectiveness of our instruction and inform the future of instruction to fully prepare our students. Let me explain a little bit about the performance. And you probably, when you came in this evening, you may have selected one of these forms. This basically is one and the same. In PARC, student outcomes are divided into five performance levels. Level one describes student work in the assessment that do not meet the grade level expectations or the course expectations. Level two describes students that are partially meeting them. Level three describes students that are approaching grade level expectations. Level four describes the work that meets grade level expectations, and level five exceeding. As I said, please give your handout for more detail. New Jersey has been and remains committed to using multiple metrics, however, in assessing student progress and attainment. Decisions about student placement in the next grade level or course have always been made by school districts, not the state, and should always be fully informed by multiple sources of information, including teacher recommendations and parent input. So PARC assessment scores are just one piece of criteria. We thought to show you it in a visual format. It's much easier to read than a group of numbers. So we put it in a graph form. As you can see, because this was the first year of PARC, we're only comparing it to the PARC states, which are in green, New Jersey average, which is in red, and Clinton Township, which is in royal blue. Clearly, you can see Clinton has done very, very well in comparison to those two other areas, New Jersey and PARC states. There are 12 states in the PARC consortium, and so Clinton did very well in the ELA in this area, and indications that we will continue to do well. In math,
And math, here again, Park is in green, New Jersey in red, Clinton Township in royal blue. We continue to do very well in math. Algebra, as I mentioned before, if this is the coursework the student was taking, the teachers would recommend whether they take the eighth grade math test or the algebra test. As you can see, majority of the students in Clinton Township took the algebra test and did significantly outstanding in algebra. Which also translates that these students now, as entering freshman year, will be able to take geometry. If they did not do well in the algebra test, they would not be eligible for geometry. So they are moving quite well in this progression of these courses.
One of the things I just wanted to stop and point out as you're looking at these math scores is when we looked at how they were going to test our students, and I sat with the middle school math teachers, we immediately had concern about the eighth grade math scores because we knew that normally all eighth graders take the eighth grade math test, all right? You can see eighth graders were split into two groups for this. There was a different test that some of them took. So what you did is you took your top level math students and you pulled them out of the normal Park eighth grade math test. And they took the Algebra 1, which we knew would have an immediate effect of creating a problem with our eighth grade math scores. And you can pretty much see that across the state that happened. We clearly need to do some other programming in eighth grade math.
End of course.
No, the Algebra 1 is an Algebra 1 Park test. Yes, it is a Park test.
Which the high schools are looking at significantly in terms of making decisions. They're in the process of designing their own criteria, but for the most part, the Algebra 1, passing the Algebra 1 test does indicate that they would probably move on to geometry. That's our understanding. Okay. Any other questions before we move on?
I'm sorry, I wanted to follow
up
on that.
Yes.
So I believe we had the end of year test. We were administering the test, and the basis for the outcome of the algebra test affected your placement in the high school. So I just wanted to make sure that the Park algebra now supersedes that test. Is there another test?
It does the Park algebra test. This is a question really from this district. I'm not involved with that procedure. Does that supersede the high school's requirement in the past in terms of going into geometry? Or do they just accept that algebra test as the gateway to go into geometry?
I can tell you what was stated.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
What was stated to us is if the student did not take the algebra part, they could not even go into geometry. That automatically wiped them out of going into geometry. So they still take Orientana, they still take other things, but there is still the grade 8 part for some people, grade 8 math, and there's the algebra for the others. So some of our students take the end of grade 8 course, some of our students take the algebra. Two different grade 8 math classes.
And those that take the algebra will then be eligible to go into geometry.
Yes. If they don't take the algebra, they cannot go into geometry. And we had that discussion and sent information out to parents of students that teachers felt were qualified to take algebra part this year. Those in accelerated math would automatically take algebra. There are some students in regular math that could
decision, right?
If they don't take Algebra Park, they cannot take geometry, regardless of how well they do.
Can I answer your question?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. What was the percentage split between the percent that took and the percent that didn't?
I don't know.
Okay. There were 105 students that took the Algebra 1 Park and 95 students that took the end of year.
End of year.
Okay.
So it's pretty much almost a little more than half. Good? Okay. Well, at this point, just so you know, New Jersey requires a performance level score of 4 and above. New Jersey has a higher standard than all the other park states. Several of the park states require a performance level of 3 and above, but New Jersey chose, the Department of Education chose to go with a 4. The 4, again, reflects exceeding standards. Another change for the 2016 testing window is from April 4th through May 13th, which is a much shorter window. We're only giving one test. Instead of testing twice a year, we're only administering it once. And the testing, because of the feedback they received from many of the school districts, has been reduced by 90 minutes, 60 minutes in ELA and 30 minutes in math. So those are the changes in the upcoming test coming in April.
One of the things that you should note, if Dr. Grief, if you just go back to those that graph again.
Oh, I know.
If you go back and look at the graph comparison now, right? Remember, look at New Jersey's score and how much higher that is than the Park State score. In those Park State scores, some of those states, all right, do not really compare to Jersey because New Jersey's acceptance of what is a passing grade is a 4. That meets standards, all right? Many states are only accepting a 3, which is approaching standards. So New Jersey students are expected to do more and be more. And I think the comparison reflects that.
So by and large, just to reemphasize what Dr. Clark is saying, if in fact we teased out the 4s in New Jersey or teased out just the 3s in the other districts, it would be even a greater difference. So again, Clinton Township did exceptionally well as New Jersey. And the other piece that jog my memory. In the past, when we had New Jersey Ask, we had the district factor group, so you can compare yourself to other school districts in the county. No longer. We have, the department has done away with that for now a couple years. We now go with performance reports. Performance reports are based on, like districts, based on their socioeconomic, ELL population, special need population, and they try to compare districts with like communities. So your district factor groups by county will no longer exist at this point. That can always change, but at this point does not exist.
For those of you in the audience who don't recall what district factor groups are, district factor groups are the ratings of a school district based on, and community, based on socioeconomic status, educational level, and so they run from an A to a J. An A would be the lowest level, maybe in Newark, all right? A J would be something like a Mendham, all right? Clinton Township was an I district in terms of district factor groups. They're no longer using those, and they're doing these peer performances, which are highly disputed because when we've looked at them, some of the grade levels don't even compare to the same grade levels that they're comparing them to. So I don't think they're particularly valid at this point. Maybe they'll get better in the future.
And I think it may change with the way that we're progressing with the park. And Joanne will go to the next group, how we're going to apply this information.
Excuse me. Would it be okay if we get through the presentation and then have all the questions at the end? It might, just because it may get answered in the, thank you.
Okay, so the next step, of course, is to take a look at how are we gonna use the data that park has given us to guide us throughout this year and the coming years. If we look at some of the items that we have up here that are written in green, one of the things that we're going to be taking a look at is an item analysis. And unlike the old ASK test, the PARC test releases actual student samples so that we're able to determine what the student actually reported, how they wrote out their answers, and how it was scored based on the rubrics that they used. So it gives us some very real-time data that allows us to see where on a rubric they did well, where they didn't do as well, and that can inform instruction. Another item that works for us here is that we will be able to use the release test questions. Thousands of test bank questions have been released from the state and can be used in current instructional practices, and that's going to allow students to practice in a manner that mirrors what they're going to be seeing on the tests. The other idea here is when we meet with our grade level teams, which happens very frequently in our buildings, that we can use the data and the resources that we have available to impact the current instruction, to take a look at the things that we're doing well, the things that we want to reinforce and affect those. We'll be reviewing current classroom resources and updating our existing resources, because as we review and adjust the curriculum now, we'll look back, we'll add some things, we'll take some things out that aren't effective, but we want to make sure that we're using the latest materials that are the most current updates to make our resources support our instruction. Budget planning, as always, would be a factor, and that would just help us to supplement the current materials and resources that we use. And finally, once you get into a year's worth of looking at the current testing data, then you'll take that information and that will impact the curriculum map so that your instructional design that follows from this point forward is impacted by the data. Another question is, how are we going to use the PARC data to inform conversations with all of our educators? And several things have been happening that facilitate this. The first is that there are just numerous PARC workshops available right now. And as the first year of testing is concluded and the information is being released to us, we have to understand the test. And most of these workshops have been designed to inform us about how the tests were created. How does an item become a test item? It actually takes 2 years for a question to become a PARC test question. They field test them. There are always field test questions embedded in the tests that we take, just as they were when we took the New Jersey ASK. They field test those questions. They look at the responses that students give them, and they balance how the students score to determine whether it's a valid PARC question. But that process in itself takes 2 years, which adds to the validity of the data. So right now, we're in the process of looking at all of these items through workshops, again, passing that along, that information along to our staff from the grade level meetings. One of the things that we've been looking at intently right now is the PARC framework analysis, which talks about which items in the core content are the ones that carry the most weight in testing and where a lot of the test bank items are being pulled from. So that's been an interesting conversation to have when you look at the breadth of the curriculum and how many standards are taught, what are the core ideas that are the ones that they feel are most impactful for instruction. We also will take a look at professional development planning, because once we analyze the curriculum and we determine strengths and areas that we want to shore up, that's going to help us to better teach our teachers how to teach and what methods of instruction work best. PARC score analysis, more information is coming. As we know, the reports that parents received, as they start to develop more information, the test reports will become live, which means that as you scroll over and we're doing our analysis, data will pop up to make them live, just as much as you would scroll over a bar and a graph and the numbers would pop up to that. So that's going to be interesting, because really the data informs us. Not looking at the district factor groups, that certainly leaves a piece out for us, but the more important piece that we have is what the student performance is and how that's going to impact what we decide to do as teaching methods. And then finally, you know, we're going to be looking at those item analysis pieces to take a look at how do we want to affect the way we assess in our daily practice. And then finally, the last question is, what can we learn about where additional professional resources are needed to meet the learning needs of all students? So one of the things that we're looking to do is to survey current and anticipated technology use. We're all aware that PARC is an electronic format, and that does seem to be the direction that assessment is taking. Even SAT and ACT are looking into electronic formats. So the format of electronic testing is one that I believe is here to stay. That's going to impact our technology needs. Another idea here is that we need to take a look at our assessment design. Currently, our writing prompts and many of our benchmark tests are delivered electronically, and that's a practice that we want to continue as we move forward. We want to make sure that the application of the skills is the goal, because when you look at the PARC test items, the PARC test questions are constructs for the most part. The majority of the PARC questions were hand-scored. They're not very well machine-scored. They don't ask questions that are yes, no, five, one half. They are required for the students to answer a question and then to show mathematical reasoning within that piece. So for that reason, and that was part of the reason that the scores took a little while to get to us, was the number of problems that actually had to be hand scored. So another thing that we want to look to do is to share information with our sending districts. Even though the district factor grouping piece is no longer an issue, knowing the programs that the sending districts to North Hunterdon and Voorhees use is going to be valuable information for us. It's going to, you know, let us have a broader view of the programs that are used in other districts that work effectively. We will be updating our instructional materials and assessments, and Dr. Grief and I have spent a lot of time meeting with the grade levels and going over what is currently in use across all medium and taking notes, intense notes on those, so that we have a very good picture of exactly what methods of instruction we're doing and where we want to shore that up to make sure that the technology pieces are being used in instruction. And then finally, again, professional development in those targeted areas. Just as we use our evaluation system to determine what professional development we will need for our staff, the same thing is going to be true in terms of looking at this analysis to what we need to do to change instruction so that instruction prepares the students to be thinkers, not to memorize facts and reproduce them on a test-taking sheet. We've all probably filled in enough bubbles in our lifetime to know that. But this is going to give us a look into a different approach to instruction, where the application of skills, hands-on, flipped classroom, different instructional models will be appropriate. And that's the end of my slides. So if you have any questions.
I just want to make sure that you know that on the website, there are resources for parents. Please take a look at those. The resources that the state has given us this year are much better than anything we've had in the past. So it's important that we utilize them. Take a good look at them. We have everything available for you on our website.
Just what I was going to say, so thank you. Also, we plan on keeping this updated. One thing that's different from the past in terms of state testing is communication, communication, communication. They do want everyone to know what is available for not only for parents, but also for teachers in terms of instructional practices, instructional strategies, much more than we've ever had in a number of years. And this is a very positive thing for us. So if you look at the website, and it's in your handouts, we will be putting this up there tomorrow. You'll have a video as well. It's not just a PowerPoint slides. It's they're very well done and explains how to read your reports, your child's report, where in the past we had nothing of this nature. Some of you are familiar with these score reports, but they'll be coming out with the next announcement will be much more in depth. And as you can see, the last piece is how you literally giving you suggestions to how you can help your child, support their instruction, and provide them with expanded activities at home as well.
Thank you, Dr. Greek. Thank you, Ms. Hinkle. Any members of the Board of Education have any questions for our presenters this evening?
No. That additional data, when would the teachers and administrators have access to it? When do we expect it from DOE?
We were told end of this month, February.
Okay. And do you know, is that going to be the typical schedule? The kids will test in the spring and
Kevin,
then the data.
Can you talk in the microphone? I can't hear you.
I got it right here. I got to look this way. So we got some macro testing data, and we're expecting more data later this month. So my question was, is that going to be the typical schedule for release of data? The kids test in the spring, and then the teachers get data, you know, January of the next year? Or are they trying to accelerate that?
Ideally, it's the acceleration, because it took time to do the standard setting. The whole premise of this, because of the technology involved, was to provide, because we used to complain consistently about getting the test scores too late in September, when we need them at the end of the school year to make it much more meaningful and be able to do much more with it. And they assured us, they have been assuring us, that as we go through this process, that's the goal.
End of school year.
End of school year, before
the year of the test.
Before the next school year.
Okay. And one more, unless somebody else has one. The states in the consortium, do you happen to know which Northeast states are in the consortium, and is Massachusetts in the current data?
Massachusetts is in the current data. They just dropped out. And I'm very proud to say, because my husband's from Massachusetts, that New Jersey beat Massachusetts. But I know overall they just pulled out. I don't know what, for their own reasons, because they wanted to use their own test. But I think we do have a number of states that are left.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Yeah, it changes. We try not to memorize them because they could be changed. I just heard Massachusetts being the last one that's dropped out.
But it was a dozen states, I think I heard.
Correct, 12. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Any questions from the public for our presenters this evening regarding PARC?
Basically, it goes back to instruction. What do we need? What skills are needed for that child to get a 4? And that's what the beauty of the PARC test that we never had in New Jersey ask. When we got a report on New Jersey ask, all we got were cluster scores. What does that really mean? It really didn't really interpret much to instruction. With the PARC, it's very specific. PARC is very skill-based, more so than content-based, because it takes you know, it's in terms of the thinking skills behind it. So we'll be able to really drill down into drill down instructions for these to meet the needs of these kids. Well,
the state did have some issues when they were administering the test. It was not a district issue. It was actually a state issue that we encountered. We actually had technology teams at every building making sure that we had, our kids had access. But the state's site did have some difficulty. They say they're working on that, and that's not supposed to happen again, so we'll see.
And not only the state, but the park site, but they also provided a time and a half, extra time for the kids to take the test, more
right.
time than
so
we've had in the past.
So they weren't penalized for that.
We weren't penalized.
They got time for it.
Problem while we're taking the test, we do file irregularity reports based on, you know, the individual students. So if there had been a problem with taking that test, an irregularity report would have been filed, and that would be noted in the data that's collected
and taken into consideration for their scores, because it sometimes it was the actual park site, so it impacted thousands and thousands and thousands of tests, not only in New Jersey. So they were very much involved in getting us to tell them immediately, and so I'm sure this district responded immediately as
right.
well.
There was an irregularity report yeah. filed.
And one of the things that they did clarify for us was that the technology actually was not an impacting factor. There had been a lot of concern initially that the use of the technology was going to throw the students off, and while it certainly would have had some impact on them, they don't feel that that was actually, you know, one of the big things that affected scoring. And they're also making some adjustments in the math testing. The math testing is a math toolkit, an electronic toolkit that the kids use, and they are making some adjustments to that this year. So that should help facilitate their use.
Sir?
So I guess my concern would be about technology. So if PARC is about process, if it's about assessing, if it's a more formative assessment of student learning, I worry that technology on demand doesn't capture the work they've done, even if they get a wrong answer. So if you rely on technology, right, just to get the answer without capturing process, I don't really know how that informs pedagogy. So I would hope that the technology is robust enough to capture student work so that we better understand where the student got lost in the process, right? Mm-hmm. So I hope the technology is that flexible.
You know, they're obviously adjusting the toolkits and things to make them a little bit more easy, a little more ease of use. But when you look at the items that the students took and the way that they recorded their answers, they scored them on a rubric. So an item might have a value of 6 points, and part of that point structure might be devoted to the answer. Part of that point structure would be devoted to the reasoning behind it or the explanation. Very few of the math questions were, you know, 5 times 7 equals. But a lot of the questions were a construct, how you applied the skills that you had, the number sense and so on. So you would draw a model. They avoided geometric pieces purposely because of the difficulty the technology represented. But in the rest of the questions, you can see the breakdown of how they looked for
a response and a reasoning piece and the logic behind the math.
So in essence, the student will still get credit for what they did.
Any other questions?
Which we didn't have that ability before.
Any other questions?
Alistair said you had the states.
I pulled up the 12 states. So it's Arkansas, Colorado, District of Columbia, Illinois, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Mississippi, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, and Rhode Island.
Jesus, pretty well spread out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? No? Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I would like to take a moment. January is School Board Recognition Month. It was started more than a dozen years ago to honor the state's volunteer school board members who oversee more than 580 public school districts, setting policy, making sure schools are safe and well-run, and making decisions on curriculum, staffing, financing, and more. I would like to take a moment to honor our volunteer board members here tonight for their contribution to the schools and students of Clinton Township. I have left a certificate of recognition at each of your places. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. I'm looking for motion, please, on action item 16SU-009, please.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Clark this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Riddle-Golda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to move on in our agenda this evening and open the floor up to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent that any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We're limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Anyone like to address the board this evening? No? Okay. Seeing none, I'd like to move on to and open the floor to our first recognition of the public. The same parameters that I just read for the comments on agenda items only apply to this section as well. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 20 minutes. Anyone like to address the board this evening? Nope, seeing none, move on then to the report of the business administrator and board secretary, Mr. Jeskowitz.
The date of the Board of Education's meeting is scheduled for Monday, February 22nd, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. Bus evacuation drills were conducted successfully at the Spruce Run School and Patrick McGarren School on Monday, December 21st, 2015. These drills are required twice a year. This is the first one of the year for our district. The drill was also conducted The drill was conducted successfully at the Round Valley School on Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015. The drill was conducted also successfully at the Clinton Township Middle School on Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. We have no motions to move in this particular section this evening. So I'd like to move on to our first committee report, Facilities and Finance. Mr. Petuto is the chair of that report, of that committee. Mr. Petuto, can we have your report, sir?
Sure. Before I give my report, how are we handling action item 16FF150? Or are we?
That's for later, sir.
Okay, so let's skip that one. All right. So the Facilities and Finance Committee did not have the opportunity to meet since our last public board meeting, which was last Monday. However, we do have a total of 11 action items tonight. They are of the usual variety, including the payment of bills for the current period, some employee and staff travel requests, a few student evaluations, and other standard work. So with that, I am putting forward a motion for the approval of action items 16FF139 through 16FF149.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mr. McHugh. Any questions for Mr. Petuto this evening? If seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
I need to abstain on FF139 and yes to the rest.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Rudolgoda?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Our second committee report this evening is our personnel negotiations. Ms. Susan Vanderhoff is our chair. Ms. Vanderhoff, your report, please.
Thank you. We met this past Tuesday, Personnel and Negotiations Committee, and we have a total of 11 action items tonight. Action items 16-PN121 to 16-PN131. Various updates. We're sad to accept several retirements, all effective July 1st of this year. The first was the retirement of our superintendent, and we are also accepting two other retirements. One is for second grade teacher Dennis Dinner, and also the retirement of Patrick McGarren teaching assistant Cheryl Spinks. We wish them all well, and they will be greatly missed. We also wanted to accept and acknowledge two disability maternity leaves and child rearing leaves for this year. One is for Round Valley School fourth grade teacher Jill Jordan, beginning in April, and the other is for fifth grade teacher in Round Valley, Tina Rockefeller, beginning in May. We're also excited to welcome a student teacher this year, Bridget Burns from the College of New Jersey at Patrick McGarren, with teachers Kelly Newgard and Stephanie Snyder. And we are welcoming two secretary substitutes for the school year, as well as a recess lunch aide. And we are also excited to welcome Darren Daniello as our district technology technician, and he will be starting with us effective January 25th. Finally, we've approved the appointment and employment contracts for the non-affiliated administrative support staff for the district. And there is an addendum, which is action item 16PN131. And we are excited to have substitute nurse Kelly Stenberg join tomorrow, effective tomorrow. So with that, I'd like to get a motion to pass action item 16-PN121 to 16-PN131.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Ms. Vanderhoff this evening? Seeing none, Mr. Juskowitz, may we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Riddle-Golda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our final main committee report this evening, Policy and Curriculum. Ms. Rachel McLaughlin is chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, your committee report, please.
Members.
Do I need to change that right now? Okay.
What do you do?
Before I give my report, I need to make a motion to change the names of the committee members.
Right.
On the agenda.
I'm not not sure if it was correct when we approved it.
Let's address it next month,
right?
And I'll redo all the committees again next month.
Doesn't require
okay. It's fine.
Disregard what okay. I just said. I'll hit the replay button. Since our last boarding meeting last week, the Policy and Curriculum Committee did meet on January 7th, and Dr. Clark said I'm not allowed to use the word long, so I will say it's a spirited meeting. We discussed several topics, including previewing the park presentation that you just saw on our screen. We also discussed the calendar, a number of policies, and a field trip, all of which you will see on tonight's agenda. So tonight we have a first reading of eligibility of resident for non-resident pupils, the policy and the regulation. We have a second reading for the policy on organizational chart, pupil suicide and prevention, and a regulation on pupil suicide. We are going to be approving a field trip for the All-Stars program at Round Valley School with Ms. Portland to attend a field trip at Bella Pizza. And we are also going to be approving the district calendar for the 2016-17 school year. A couple of notes on the calendar and the construction of the calendar. Each year, Dr. Clark, previous to this meeting, so a few meetings ago, brings us several options for calendars. As a committee, we discuss the calendars. We also take comments from board members, and the public is also welcome to come to the microphone at a meeting to discuss the calendar. This year, our first day of school for staff will be August 30th and 31st. As we are in contract negotiations, there is a note at the calendar that additional staff professional development days may be added subject to contract negotiations and settlement. Students will then come to school on September 1st, which is a shift for our district. We are coming to school prior to Labor Day this year. One of the reasons that we have decided to move forward with that is that North Henderson High School is starting fairly early in August, and we didn't want to be too far away from them. But at the same time, if we waited until after Labor Day, that's a very long time away from the beginning of the North school year. So we tried to sort of reach a happy medium. Also listed on the calendar are back to school nights for the year. We will be having a staff in-service early dismissal day on October 5th. We will also have a staff in-service day on February 17th, so schools will be closed, but staff will be coming to school. And we will also have an early dismissal on March 8th for staff in-service as well. Important to note are that our winter break and our spring break are aligned with North Henderson High School. Our tentative last day of school is on June 16th. It's a Friday. That is also the tentative day for eighth grade graduation, subject to change. This calendar, as in previous calendars, we have five built-in snow days, correct, Dr. Clark?
Mm-hmm. Four.
Four. And if a fifth is needed, we would start. At the bottom of the page, there's a notation that if we do not use the four snow days, how we would either, if we have to use the snow days, how we would add on or take away various holidays during the course of the year. So for the students, it will be a total of 184 days, and for staff, it will be a total of 187 days. So with that being said, I think that's the last,
that was the last one.
Item. So I'm going to move action items 16PC021 through 16PC024. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin this evening?
Rachel, when is the high school actually going back this year?
I believe it's August 27th.
I have their calendar.
7th.
August.
20th, whatever that Friday
staff
is.
Staff in service day is August 22nd.
And students?
24th.
Staff and students' first full day is August 25th.
So you mentioned that there's typically, or this would have created a larger gap if we started after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
What has the average gap been between CTR, you know, our district and the high school? And is it significant? Is it significantly greater?
I think it's usually about 10 days.
Yeah. What's happened over the last, I think, 2 years is that North has been starting earlier each year. We were right around the same time in previous years, but the last few years they've been starting earlier and earlier in August. It has to do with a lot of their sports calendars and the students starting the sports programs earlier, so they're already, the school is there, open, and they are concerned about doing more time before their testing as well. So they've been opening earlier, which is what's created the larger gap for us.
Okay.
So they're starting 5 days before us this year.
Five.
Coming in 2016.
Thank you.
Did we mention Election Day?
No, I forgot to mention Election Day. Election Day this year is a presidential election. So the school is typically used as a polling place. So we have elected to close our schools on the federal election November 8th, and it will be during parent-teacher conference week. So students will have an early dismissal on Monday. There will be no school on Tuesday, and an early dismissal on Wednesday for conferences. And then Thursday and Friday would be the NJEA convention days, and school would be closed.
Any other questions?
So I wanted to talk about the absence of Rosh Hashanah on the proposed calendar. The PNC committee recommended the calendar.
Can you talk into the microphone? I'm having a hard time. My ears are blocked.
The PNC committee, which I'm on, recommended the calendar, but I'm not in agreement with the recommendation. So we have Yom Kippur in our calendar. Rosh Hashanah is absent. So in our sending district with North Huntingdon, North Huntingdon has both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur observed as Jewish holidays, and the majority of the sending districts do. So in the North Huntingdon sending districts that I could find information on, Union Township, Flemington Raritan, Clinton Public, Lebanon Township, Franklin Township, and Califon, they all observe both holidays along with the high school. So at times, I don't recommend that we align with the high school. Like, for example, the start of the school year, I agree we shouldn't start that far in August. But with regard to the Jewish holidays, I do think Clinton Township should align. There are many students in the district where some students attend CTSD and some attend the high school. And on that holiday, they have to make a choice whether to observe the holiday or to go to school. And that's just something I'm not comfortable with. Asking them to make that choice. So my recommendation this year and in previous years is that we observe the holiday along with the high school. And I would ask the members of the board to reconsider the calendar to add Rosh Hashanah to the calendar and align with North Huntingdon. And if you can't find yourself able to do that now, I would ask that in the future. It's something that you would consider.
It's in September sometime.
Is it high school day?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, comments on the calendar? No? Seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes. Except, no. Yes on everything, no on PC024.
It's October 1st.
Mrs. Rudel-Goda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes on everything, no on 024.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes on all but 024.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Didn't ask me.
We're going to move on to old business. This portion of our meeting is for the board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. Not a time to make personal statements, rather is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. Does any member of the board have any old topics they would like to bring up this evening?
I have one. I just wanted to comment that last month we had the opportunity to have the middle school singers here, and it was excellent. And I would just request moving forward that we continue to have student presentations, because it really helps us validate why we're here.
Okay. Any other old business of the board? Seeing none, then, I'd like to move on to new business of the board.
Any board members have any new business this evening they'd like to bring up? No? Okay. I'd like to then open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest only. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Anyone like to address the board? No? Thank you. Mr. Juskowitz, can you please read our executive session statement, sir?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, et sec, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, and NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following matters are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public office, officer, or employee, or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing of the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights, the nature of the discussion to be had described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is general purposeful matters, whereas any collective bargaining agreement or terms and conditions that are proposed or inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining agreement to be discussed is that between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, sir. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Ms. Vanderoff, second, please.
Second.
Rachel. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're back in session. I would like to make a motion for action item 16FF150. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves a contract with Strategic Educational Advantage, LLC, to provide superintendent search services during the 2015-16 school year at a cost of $8,500, pending discussion of contract terms with both parties. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Ms. Hand. Any questions? May we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Hold on 1 second. Mrs. Rudel Golda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff? Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
John. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.